Welcome back to Praying with Scripture. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful ordinary day in ordinary time where there's no saint memorials, no nothing. I do want to let you know that on Saturday there will be a live stream of something very, very unique and very spiritually powerful. They're advertising and have been advertising for something that they call the Worldwide Exorcism. So there's a two-day convention. At the end, they have something called the Worldwide Exorcism led by some Eastern European cardinal, and he's going to lead all the exorcists present in praying for deliverance for the world and for all the viewers of the Worldwide Exorcism. Someone on the internet is going to buy a ticket and one of the online tickets, and he's going to live stream it. That will be on the Uniquely Mary YouTube channel. If you're interested in watching that will be early afternoon to later evening, depending on where you are, U.S. time zones, on Saturday. The Worldwide Exorcism led by a Catholic cardinal, praying for you, your family, and the world in communion with the other exorcists. So it's going to be very cool, very unique. This is a Thursday, and we're going to pray Psalm 45 for our shortened divine office. I like Psalm 45. Honestly, it's a little tiny bit of one of the longer ones. It's medium-sized. But when you pray this in light of Jesus and in light of Mary and your relationship with them, it's very awesome. Very, very awesome. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. Psalm 45, the marriage of the King. The bridegroom is here. Go out and welcome him. Matthew 25:06-6 is the verse. My heart overflows with noble words. To the King I must speak the song I have made. My tongue is nimble as the pen of a scribe. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. You are the fairest of the children of men, and graciousness is poured upon your lips, because God has blessed you forevermore. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. O Mighty One, gird your sword upon your thigh. In splendor and state, ride on in triumph for the cause of truth and goodness and right. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. Take aim with your bow in your dread right hand. Your arrows are sharp. Peoples fall beneath you. The foes of the King fall down and lose heart. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. Your scepter, O God, shall endure forever. A scepter of justice is the scepter of your kingdom. Your love is for justice, your hatred for evil. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above other kings. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever. Your robes fragrant with alloys and myrrh. From the ivory palace you are greeted with music. The daughters of kings are among your loved ones. On your right stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, make us able to practice good present-mindedness, to focus on being mindful of you in the here and now. Grant us your help for Bill, for all the members of our community. Hail Mary, full of grace, and for my grandmother and my mom, and they're your protection. O Lord, help us. Your throne stands firm, O God, forever, through Christ our Lord, who is the God we speak of. I saw the New Jerusalem, beautiful as a bride adorned to meet her husband. Listen, O daughter, give ear to my words. Forget your own people and your father's house. So will the King desire your beauty. He is your Lord. Pay homage to him. I saw the New Jerusalem, beautiful as a bride adorned to meet her husband. And the people of Tyre shall come with gifts. The richest of the people shall seek your favor. The daughter of the King is clothed with splendor. her robes embroidered with pearls set in gold. She is led to the king with her maiden companions. They are escorted amid gladness and joy. They pass within the palace of the king. Sons shall be yours in place of your fathers. You will make them princes over all the earth. May this song make your name forever remembered. May the peoples praise you from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When you took on flesh, Lord Jesus, you made a marriage of mankind with God. Help us to be faithful to your word. Grant us your healing and protection, and make us able to endure anything. Free us from all unnecessary worry and anxiety. Make us endure bravely the things that come our way. Help us break free from evil around us. Pray for all of your intentions. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I saw the new Jerusalem, beautiful as a bride adorned to meet her husband. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So we've been reading the story of the biblical character King David, and we've all been reading passages out of 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel, I honestly can't remember now. But today we're beginning to read David's story out of the first book of Chronicles. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wonders of your law. First, a reading from the book of Chronicles, chapter 22. David prepares for the building of the temple. David said, "My son Solomon is young and immature, but the house that is to be built for the Lord must be made so magnificent that it will be renowned and glorious in all countries. Therefore, I will make preparations for it." Thus, before his death, David laid up materials in abundance. Then he called for his son Solomon and commanded him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, it was my purpose to build a house myself for the honor of the Lord, my God. But this word of the Lord came to me, 'You have shed much blood, and you have waged great wars. You may not build a house in my honor, because you have shed too much blood upon the earth in my sight. However, a son is to be born to you. He will be a peaceful man, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. For Solomon shall be his name, and in his time I will bestow peace and tranquility on Israel. It is he who shall build a house in my honor. He shall be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. And I will establish the throne of his kingship over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has said, you shall. May the Lord give you prudence and discernment when he brings you to rule over Israel, so that you keep the law of the Lord your God. Only then shall you succeed if you are careful to observe the precepts and decrees which the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be brave and steadfast. Do not fear or lose heart. See, with great effort I have laid up for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, and bronze and iron in such quantities that they cannot be weighed. I also have stored up wood and stones to which you must add. Moreover, you have available an unlimited supply of workmen, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and every kind of craftsman skilled in gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Set to work, therefore, and the Lord be with you." David also commanded all of Israel's leaders to help his son Solomon. "Is not the Lord your God with you? Has he not given you rest on every side? Indeed, he has delivered the occupants of the land into my power, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Therefore, devote your hearts and souls to seeking the Lord your God. Proceed to build the sanctuary of the Lord God, that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the Lord's sacred vessels may be brought into the house built in honor of the Lord. Responsory Prayer. Offer your hearts and souls in seeking the Lord. Rise up and build a sanctuary for the Lord your God. Let us enter into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. The Lord said, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Let us enter. Let us enter into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. From an exposition of Psalm, so a second reading, from the tradition of the preaching of the church is drawn from an exposition of Psalm 118 by St. Ambrose, Bishop. God's temple is holy. You are his temple. So I guess that is meant to help us meditate on our responsory prayer and what we just said about building our temple within ourselves. My Father and I will come and make our home with him. Let your door stand open to receive him. Unlock your soul to him. Offer him a welcome in your mind, and then you will see the riches of simplicity, the treasures of peace, the joy of grace. Throw wide the gate of your heart and stand before the sun of the everlasting light that shines on every man. This true light shines on all, but if anyone closes his window, he will deprive himself of eternal light. If you shut the door of your mind, you shut out Christ. Though he can enter, he does not want to force his way in rudely or to compel us to admit him against our will. Born of a virgin, he came forth from the womb as the sight of the, as the light of the whole world in order to shine on all men. His light is received by those who long for the splendor of perpetual light that night can never destroy. The sun of our daily experience is succeeded by the night of the darkness of night. But the sun of holiness never sets, because wisdom cannot give place to evil. Blessed, then, is the man at whose door Christ stands and knocks. Our door is faith. If it is strong enough, the whole house is safe. This is the door of which Christ by which Christ enters. So the church says in the Song of Psalms, The voice of my brother is at the door. Hear his knock. Listen to him, asking to enter. Open to me, my sister, my betrothed, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, and my hair with the moisture of the night. When does God the Word most often knock at your door? When his head is covered with the dew of night, he visits in love those in trouble and temptation to save them from being overwhelmed by their trials. His head is covered with dew or moisture. When those who are his body are in distress, that is the time when you must keep watch, so that when the bridegroom comes, he may not find himself shut out and take his departure. If you were to sleep, if your heart were not wide awake, he would not knock but go away. But if your heart is watchful, he knocks and asks you to open the door to him. Our soul has a door, it has gates. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, eternal gates, that the King of Glory will enter. If you open the gates of your faith, the King of Glory will enter your house in the triumphal procession in honor of his passion. Holiness, too, has its gates. We read in Scripture that what the Lord Jesus said through the prophets, Open for me the gates of holiness. It is the soul that has its door, its gates. Christ comes to this door and knocks. He knocks at these gates. Open to him. He wants to enter, to find his bride waiting and watching. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, is our responsory prayer. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and share his supper, he and I together. Blessed is that servant who is found at work when his master returns. I will come into his house and share his supper, he and I together. Let's see if we can have some short intercessions. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the light of another day. In return, we thank him as we cry out, Lord, bless us and bring us close to you. You offered yourself in sacrifice for our sins. Accept our intentions and our work today. You bring us joy by the light of another day. Let the morning star rise in our hearts. Give us strength to be patient with those we meet today, and so imitate you and to be patient with our circumstances. Make us aware of your mercy this day, Lord, and let your strength be our delight. We pray for all of your personal intentions, for Bill, for Henry, for your continuing grace, for God's strength to fill your heart with a renewed fervor, with a sense of the Holy Spirit, for me to be again renewed by the Holy Spirit, for all of us. Gathering together in prayer, let's take a look at our readings from the Mass. So it's been a very exciting week of Mass readings. We've been speaking ever since Sunday about mission. Let's see what we've got today. A reading from the book of Genesis. Judah approached Joseph and said, I beg you, my Lord, let your servant speak earnestly to my Lord, and do not become angry with your servant, for you are the equal of Pharaoh. My Lord asked your servants, have you a father or another brother? So we said to my Lord, we have an aged father and a young brother, the child of his old age. This one's full brother is dead. And since he is the only one by that mother who is left, his father dotes on him. Then you told your servants, bring him down to me that my eyes may look on him, unless your youngest brother comes back with you. You shall not come into my presence again. When we returned to your servant, our father, we reported to him the words of my Lord. Later, our father told us to come back and buy some food for the family. So we reminded him, we cannot go down there, only if our youngest brother is with us can we go, for we may not see the man if our youngest brother is not with us. Then your servant, our father, said to us, as you know, my wife bore me two sons. One of them, however, has disappeared, and I had to conclude that he must have been torn to pieces by wild beasts. I have not seen him since. If you now take this one away from me, too, and some disaster befalls him, you will send my white head down to the netherworld in grief. Joseph could no longer control himself in the presence of all his attendants, so he cried out, have everyone withdraw from me. Thus no one else was about when he made himself known to his brothers. But his sobs were so loud that the Egyptians heard him, and so the news reached Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still in good health? But his brothers could give him no answer, so dumbfounded were they at him. Come closer to me, he told his brothers. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you once sold into Egypt. But now do not be distressed, and do not reproach yourselves for having sold me here. It was really for the sake of saving lives that God sent me here ahead of you. The word of the Lord. Praying Psalm 105 would be our prayer. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. When the Lord called down a famine on the land and ruined the crop that sustained them, he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. They had weighed him down with fetters. He was bound with chains, till his prediction came to pass and the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. Alleluia, alleluia. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, or a second tunic, or sandals, or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keeping. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it, and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Whomever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful set of readings. So one of the things that's always really interesting and important to understand, and it helps you a lot. I remember one of the theologians, I always mess up on his name, so I'm not going to try, like Brent or something like that. But he explained the logic behind the selection of the readings is always based on two things. It's always centered on the gospel. So the gospel is considered the most important reading. Then they pick the Old Testament reading, which is usually, you know, sometimes it's from Acts, sometimes it's from something else during privileged seasons like Easter, but during ordinary time, it's usually just an Old Testament reading. But that Old Testament reading is picked because it will shed some type of light into the mystery of Christ as displayed in the gospel. So it's like meant to illuminate what the church wants us to reflect upon in the gospel. See, this is something that nobody talks about, but wouldn't it be much more rewarding when you went to a Mass if you knew that and you could kind of analyze it that way too? So then there's the prayer, which is all about Joseph. We've been reading a lot of the Joseph stories this week. So for example, in this mystery of Jesus Christ, it's the mystery of the apostles being sent out to proclaim a gospel of the kingdom of God, a gospel that comes in the power of the signs of the kingdom that Jesus is designating them the authority to do. And the Joseph story, what is that about, right? Well, the Catechism gives you a really beautiful explanation, and it's worth quoting verbatim just for once. Why? Because it's not just about Joseph, but it's about the entire mystery of why there are bad things happen to us, of why there's evil in the world. But just to get ahead of myself a little bit, it seems that the common theme here is purpose directed at mission. So, you know, it's the apostles are being sent out on a mission to further Christ's mission. They receive authority, and Joseph is sent from his father, likewise, to do a definitive purpose, so that he, by growing up in this foreign country after having suffered all of this stuff as a slave, will be able to do some definitive purpose. So that's kind of the thought. One second. So this is Catechism paragraphs 311 and 312. Angels and men, as intelligent and free creatures, have to journey toward their ultimate destinies by their free choice and preferential love. They can, however, therefore go astray. Indeed, they have sinned. Thus has moral evil, incommensurably more harmful than physical evil, entered the world. God is in no way directly or indirectly the cause of moral evil. He permits it, however, because he respects the freedom of his creatures and mysteriously knows how to derive good from it. And then it has a quote from St. Augustine. For Almighty God, because he is supremely good, would not never allow any good whatsoever to exist in any evil to whatsoever to exist in his works, if he were not so all-powerful and good as to cause good to emerge from evil itself. Think about that. Think about that for a second. This is something that the Word of God is telling us, because Augustine isn't just talking about his own philosophical insight. This is something that comes from his deep reflection on the Word of God and his deep holiness. He's supremely good, would never allow any evil whatsoever in his works if he were not so all-powerful and good as to cause good to emerge from evil itself. And then it speaks about our story today in the next paragraph. In time, we can discover that God in his almighty providence can bring a good from the consequences of an evil, even a moral evil, caused by his creatures. It was not you, said Joseph to his brothers, who sent me here, but God. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive. From the greatest moral evil ever committed, the rejection and murder of God's only Son, caused by the sins of all men, God, by his grace that abounded all the more, brought the greatest of goods, the glorification of Christ and our redemption. But for all that, evil never becomes a good. And people are going to say, but my mind didn't result in this stupendous thing. It didn't result in a country being fed. Well, you know, God is all-powerful, and he wouldn't allow any evil to exist in his works if he couldn't derive something good out of it, provided we turn it back and we're able to give ourselves back to him as intelligent and free creatures. There's always some way. God can always do this. So that's just the interesting thing, right? There's a link here in our readings, it seems, between Joseph kind of going on this journey of being abused, and maybe we could even relate that to the world we live in today, right? So many of us end up in these bad situations, and yes, I'm practicing preaching right now, so I'm sorry if it's no good, but I'm still in training. So many of us end up in these situations where we're in pain, we're hurt, we're cut up by the world because of the structures of sin and the systems contaminated by sin around us. I don't want to sound like a rabble-rousing revolutionary here, but the systems that we have failed us very badly. The education system, certain other systems that we're not allowed to criticize, and just going around, you know, we kind of like Joseph, right? We've been, in a sense, kidnapped because we had to live in a world governed by these systems. We had to accept the authority of some of the people that run these systems. And sometimes that caused us great pain. But God still calls us to his mission even today. He still endows us with his authority, with a share in his own priestly mission, with a share in his own sonship. And he still calls us to do things. End of practice preaching. And we can still find purpose and meaning in that today. So anyway, I hope you're having a good day. I'm going to pray for the Pope's monthly intentions, then I'm going to get out of here. I just couldn't resist because all that just came to me within the space of reading that reading. Our Father, who art in heaven, we're praying that we will once again learn the art of discerning, discerning where God is calling us, where he's calling us on this mission. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. After my second plenary indulgence today, for the soul in purgatory, I ask you to help. Pray for me, have the soul pray for me, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Have a great rest of your day.